Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. equity futures climb after the biggest gain for stocks since 1933.
The White House and Congress strike a deal on a massive stimulus package.
President Trump looks to get Americans back to work by Easter.
And California reports the first death of a patient under 18 years old.
The White House says anyone who has been in New York City should self-quarantine because of COVID-19. Plus, Mayor de Blasio says things will not be back to normal by April. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Noah Syndergaard needs Tommy John surgery. What's next for the Mets? And the Jets lose arguably Sam Darnold's top weapon.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Wednesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are surging after yesterday's record gain for U.S. stocks. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 42 points, Dow futures up 626, and NASDAQ futures up 142. The DAX in Germany is up about 3.8%, CAC in Paris up 4.1%, and FTSE 100 up 4.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 3.8%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.33%, up 55 cents at $24.56 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1%, or $18.90 at $16.44.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0833 against the dollar. The yen is at 111.35. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin this morning on Capitol Hill, where Democrats and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have agreed on a stimulus package to fight the fallout from COVID-19.
At last, we have a deal.
And for details on the plan, we bring in Martin DeCaro from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Nathan, the historic package tees up more than $2 trillion in government spending and tax breaks. Sources tell us there's $500 billion to back loans and provide aid to businesses, more than $350 billion for small business to maintain payrolls, plus additional unemployment insurance. The measure also gives $1,200 checks to most Americans. Congress hopes to pass the measure as soon as today. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Martin, thank you. Hopes for that stimulus package help stocks post their biggest one-day gain since 1933. The Dow surged 11% and is poised to open higher again today. Savita Subramanian is head of U.S. equity strategy at Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
This is a great environment to really separate the wheat from the chaff and look for companies that have been beaten down for no reason besides just liquidating portfolios and moving into cash. And look for the companies that are actually going to rise from the ashes.
Yesterday's biggest gains came from the most battered industries, with energy, retail, autos, and airlines among the biggest movers.
Well, now that the stimulus plan is nearly done, the White House is looking for additional ways to support the economy. Sources tell us it's considering deferring tariffs paid by U.S. companies. We get details now from Bloomberg's Jenny Leonard.
So what we've learned now is that there are discussions in the early stages to debate whether to walk this delicate line between cutting tariffs and giving some kind of other relief to companies right now that are in desperate need of it. So what is being discussed is the tariffs would all remain in place, but all the companies that are importing goods would have to defer their payments by 3 months. So that means a lot of the cash is actually staying in the company's pockets in a time where they really, really need it.
It is a sharp turnaround for President Trump, who's resisted calls for tariff relief. The current plan would defer payments across a broad range of goods for 90 days.
As the White House looks to boost the economy, the president is proposing an aggressive timeline to get Americans back to work.
I hope we can do this by Easter. I think that would be a great thing for our country, and we're all working very hard to make that a reality.
And that timeline puts the president at odds with state leaders who have ordered shutdowns extending weeks beyond Easter. Still, the president's push drew measured response from Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
You can look at a date, but you've got to be very flexible. And on a literally day-by-day and week-by-week basis, you need to evaluate the feasibility of what you're trying to do.
And Fauci says some parts of the country may be able to reopen next month while others continue to fight the outbreak. Easter falls on April 12th.
In the meantime, deaths from the coronavirus continue to climb as the outbreak spreads in the U.S. and Europe. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Well, Nathan, fatalities around the world are nearing 19,000 as infections surpass 400,000. Here in the U.S., there are 55,000 cases and 800 deaths. Nearly half of all infections are in New York State. In the meantime, in Florida, the National Guard being deployed to airports to greet flights from New York. The Guard's mandating travelers from the state to self-isolate and asking for information on where they plan to stay on their visit. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We have some sobering news now out of California. The state is reporting what looks to be the first U.S. death of a person under 18 years of age. We get the details now from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter in San Francisco.
County Health Department Director Barbara Ferrer said, "This is a devastating reminder that COVID-19 affects people of all ages." Meanwhile, the state is scrambling to acquire about 1 billion sets of gloves and hundreds of millions of gowns, surgical masks, and face shields for healthcare workers and first responders. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to the markets now, global stocks are adding to yesterday's record surge. In Asia, equities posted their biggest daily gain since 2008. Here with more is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 8% to notch up its best three-day gain since the financial crisis. Banks in China climbed on reports policymakers are mulling a cut to the benchmark deposit rate. The CSI 300 posted a second daily gain of more than 2.5%. Stocks in Seoul rose almost 6%, while the won gained for a second day as the South Korean government eased FX prudential rules to support dollar funding. In Singapore, Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. S&P futures are up 50 points this morning. Dow futures up 665. NASDAQ futures up 168. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world, including more details on that massive stimulus package. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. The $2 trillion stimulus plan agreed to by White House and Senate leaders would ban any company controlled by President Donald Trump or his children from receiving loans or investments from Treasury programs. According to a summary circulated by Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, businesses owned by the president, vice president, members of Congress, or heads of executive departments would be excluded from receiving that aid. The block also would extend to companies controlled by their children, spouses, or in-laws. The White House has urged anyone who has been in New York to self-quarantine for 14 days to stop the spread of the coronavirus, which has become widespread in the city. President Trump says he wants to emerge from the coronavirus shutdown by Easter. However, with nearly 15,000 coronavirus cases in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says he doesn't see a reduction in cases anytime soon.
I have to be honest about the fact that we do not expect this to go quickly, and I wish we did, but we don't. I've had several conversations this week with President Trump, and I respect his office for sure, and I'm trying to work with him to ensure that we get support in this city. But I have to respectfully disagree with him when he says that he's not looking at months for this crisis.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is upset about the number of ventilators being sent to the state.
What am I going to do with 400 ventilators when I need 30,000? You pick the 26,000 people who are going to die because you only sent 400 ventilators.
About 15,000 cases are in New York City. As for New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy talked about that.
It's not good. We now have 3,675 positive cases. I have to say we're not shocked by that. We knew this was coming in part because we've opened up testing so aggressively, but the numbers are going straight up. And sadly, we announced 17 new deaths for a total now of 44 blessed souls who have lost their lives in our state.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much. It is 5:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. As if times weren't tough enough with game cancellations, New Yorkers are hit with a double dose of bad news on Tuesday. Mets star pitcher Noah Syndergaard will undergo Tommy John surgery. Since he burst onto the scene as one of the hardest throwers in history, some fans feared this day may come. MLB.com Mets insider Anthony DiComo explains.
Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard has a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow and will undergo Tommy John surgery, ending his season before it begins. It's a significant blow to a Mets team that was counting on Syndergaard to be a number two starter behind Cy Young Award winner Jacob deGrom, and will now be without him for the foreseeable future.
Even without Thor, it's a promising rotation led by Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Rick Porcello, Steven Matz, and Michael Wacha. NFL news. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold was just starting to get comfortable with wide receiver Robbie Anderson, and now he's gone. Anderson agreed Tuesday to a two-year $20 million deal with the Carolina Panthers, $12 million coming in year one. Anderson will play for his college coach while at Temple, Matt Rhule. Jets wasted no time looking for a replacement, signing Breshad Perriman to a one-year deal. Perriman had career-high across the board in Tampa Bay last season. And Devils and 76 owner Josh Harris has done an about-face amid overwhelming public scrutiny for saying he'd have employees take a pay cut due to lost revenue from the coronavirus. Harris issued an apology on Tuesday and rescinded the pay reductions. And the NFL and the owners at odds over what to do with the NFL draft. The league wants to televise the event April 23rd through the 5th. The owners say they won't have enough time for physicals and other business. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. Futures on Wall Street pointing to more gains for stocks after the biggest one-day rally for U.S. equities since the Great Depression. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 55 points. Dow futures up 743. That's a gain of 3.6% for the Dow futures. NASDAQ futures higher by 187 points. 10 years down, 7/32 yield 0.86%. Two-year Treasury yield 0.37%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's Donor Advised Fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are surging globally along with U.S. stock index futures as investors weigh evolving government rescue packages to counter the hit from the coronavirus. After one of the best days on Wall Street in a generation, the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 11% yesterday for its biggest advance since 1933. The S&P added the most in 12 years. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 53 points this morning. Dow futures up 728. NASDAQ futures up 178. The DAX in Germany is up 4.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or 69 cents at $24.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $13.80 at $16.49.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.0842 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1913. And the yen is at 111.32. The VIX at 58.54. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. lawmakers and the White House have agreed on a $2 trillion domestic aid package to help those affected by the coronavirus pandemic. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called it unemployment compensation on steroids. The world's largest democracy is under the world's biggest lockdown, with India's 1.3 billion people ordered to stay home in a bid to stop the coronavirus. India's move is aimed at keeping the virus from spreading and overwhelming its fragile healthcare system, as it has done in parts of Europe where infections are still surging. Meanwhile, New York is scrambling to set up thousands of new hospital beds. The British government is planning to shut down Parliament for 4 weeks starting tonight in the latest attempt to slow the spread of coronavirus. The UK outbreak is most advanced in London, and several politicians have fallen ill, including a health minister. According to a Gallup poll, 60% of those surveyed say President Trump has done a fine job in battling COVID-19. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you so much. It is coming up to 5:20 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to watch equities around the world build on their surge after the one of the best days on Wall Street in nearly a century. Let's get more now. Steen Jacobsen joins us. He's chief investment officer at Saxo Bank. Good to talk with you this morning, Steen. Of course, the markets surged yesterday on the promise of a major stimulus plan out of Washington. Now that it appears to be a done deal, what are you going to be looking for in terms of seeing whether this rally is a sustainable one?
I think what really matters right now is what kind of people gets the money. The right kind of people needs the money, the people in need, the service industry, the weak part of society needs to be supported. So now it was all the worst. Now the action needs to be there. It needs to come with low red tape, and a lot of this money needs to be given in forms of grants. So basically, I think what we saw overnight was a institutionalization of the helicopter money. So in my opinion, what had happened over the last 36 hours in total is that we moved from a market trading entirely on fear to one which is trading in nervous stability.
For based on what you've seen in the stimulus package so far, are you feeling confident that the money is going to be directed in the ways you're suggesting?
It seems like a lot of the hurdles that was between the two parties, the Republican Party and the GOP, was exactly how we get that money in the hands of the right people and how, to some extent, is that monitored through an attorney general. I think that, that's definitely happening. I think we're at a stage of this cycle, and this is the worst crisis, I think, since the 1920s, where we need to put all hands on deck. We need to commit, and then we need to figure out later, you know, who needs to pay back, who can pay back, and what needs to be done. I think the market is underestimating how binary this is. In normal crises, we've been right on the edge and managed to pull away from the edge. This time we went over the edge in terms of the functionality of the market, and now we need remedies and policy choices that are much, much bigger than in the past. In the space of 36 hours, we have done what in global policy terms has never been done before. Helicopter money, boom, done. Germany committing to stability fund and mutualization in Europe, done. We have the Federal Reserve infinite QE, which is, by the way, in my opinion, is yield curve controlled by proxy, because clearly the next FOMC meeting will be all about how they institute a yield cap on short-term treasury yield. So, yes, I am, you know, you can't be confident, but as I said, I think the headline for me is nervous stability.
The PMIs we saw yesterday out of the U.S. were brutal, to say the least. Are you concerned that the economic damage that we've suffered so far from this pandemic could linger longer than the virus itself?
We will be way into 2021 before the full scale of this will be monitored correctly. I'm not looking at any data point at all because it makes no sense. Whether we're down 30, 40, or 50 doesn't matter. What matters is what we just talked about. How do you get the money in front of people who really need it so we can keep the social fabric intact? How do we get, you know, the flu under control? The virus under control in terms of testing people correctly? And then finally, how do we react when we get out of this? And we will be go beyond and into some better times here. But right now, it's all about just getting the job done that needs to be done. And I think we took a big step yesterday from overnight from the Congress. And overall, I think all hands are on deck. And I'm pretty, as you can be in these kind of times where we are just over the brink in terms of market conditions, then I'm increasingly positive here.
Well, putting technical indicators aside, what indicators are you looking at to see whether it's, could be a point to take on risk at some point in our last 30 seconds or so here?
Yeah, so we are very much watching the credit spread that came in yesterday for the first time. We need tonight to be a positive close. It will be the first time we have two consecutive positive closes since the start of this crisis. And finally, we need the dollar to come off its peak. Those will be the three things I need to monitor today, tomorrow, and next week.
Do you think we're going to see 2 days of gains just quickly?
It's early days, of course, early doors, but it's 2.5% in the NASDAQ as you and I talk. I do think we'll have a positive day because I think markets are starting to beginning to understand that this is binary. We cannot deal with the opposite of what we have, which is depression.
Steen Jacobson, Chief Investment Officer at Saxo Bank. Good to get your insights this morning. Thank you so much for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. As you say, we are looking at gains across the board for equities. S&P futures are higher by 53 points right now. Dow futures a gain of 740 points after yesterday's more than 2,100-point surge. NASDAQ futures higher by 185 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. equity futures are climbing after the biggest gain for stocks since 1933. Hopes for a stimulus package are boosting sentiment after the White House and Congress struck a deal on a bill to fight the fallout from COVID-19. And here with the details is Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank.
We're expecting legislative language to come out early in the morning. The Senate is out until noon, probably a vote in the afternoon, early evening, then it's on to the House. This looks like it's done. All of the principals are saying they agree, and for the bits that they don't have written down, they have an agreement on what it's supposed to look like when it's written.
And sources tell us the measure includes $500 billion to back loans and provide aid to businesses, more than $350 billion for small business to maintain payrolls, plus additional unemployment insurance. The measure also gives $1,200 checks to most Americans.
Well, at the same time, President Trump is proposing an aggressive timeline to get Americans back to work.
I hope we can do this by Easter. I think that would be a great thing for our country, and we're all working very hard to make that a reality.
Well, that timeline puts the president at odds with state leaders who've ordered shutdowns extending to the end of April. Easter falls on April 12th.
Meantime, deaths from the coronavirus continue to climb as the outbreak spreads in the U.S. and Europe. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Fatalities around the world are nearing 19,000 as infections surpass 400,000. Now, here in the U.S., there are 55,000 cases, 800 deaths. Nearly all the infections are in New York's, nearly half of all infections are in New York State. And meantime, in Florida, the National Guard being deployed to airports to greet flights from New York. The Guard mandating travelers from the state to self-isolate and asking for information on where they plan to stay on their visit. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 56 points. Dow futures up 763 and NASDAQ futures up 185. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.37%. And the 30-year yield, 1.41%. The euro, 1.0834 against the dollar. The yen, 111.43. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The $2 trillion stimulus plan agreed to by White House and Senate leaders would ban any company controlled by President Donald Trump or his children from receiving loans or investments from Treasury programs. According to a statement from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, businesses owned by the president, vice president, members of Congress, or heads of executive departments would be excluded from receiving that aid. The block also would extend to companies controlled by their children, spouses, or in-laws. While President Trump says he wants the country back open by Easter, healthcare officials are saying the situation in New York is dire. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter is covering that story.
Dr. Deborah Birx has some stark statistics.
About 56% of all the cases in the United States are coming out of that metro area, and 60% of all the new cases are coming out of the metro New York area, and 31% of the people succumbing to this disease.
She says anybody who has traveled from New York should self-isolate for 14 days. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says April will be worse than March regarding the virus. He is saying ventilators will be the key. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says this disease impacts everybody. At a news conference last night, Newsom says young people are disproportionately affected by the virus.
50% of the 2,102 individuals that have tested positive, 50% are between the age of 18 and 49. I'll repeat that. Half of those that have tested positive to date in the state of California are 18 to 49 years old.
Meanwhile, the first U.S. death of a person under the age of 18 has been reported in California's Los Angeles County from COVID-19. The U.S. Navy says coronavirus has reached its ships at sea. Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Mudley says three personnel aboard the carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, have tested positive and transported to a military hospital.
We've identified all those folks that they've had contact with, and we're quarantining them as well. This is an example of our ability to keep our ships deployed at sea, underway, even with active COVID-19 cases.
The aircraft carrier at sea in Asia last made a port call 15 days ago in Vietnam. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Even the hard-throwing, invincible man that Mets fans call Thor is done for the foreseeable future. Noah Syndergaard will have Tommy John surgery after feeling elbow discomfort for nearly a month. The surgery, according to MLB.com Mets insider Anthony DiComo, will set him back all of 2020 and part of 2021. The Mets are still considered to be one of the NL East's favorites, with an accomplished pitching staff led by Cy Young winner Jacob deGrom. Marcus Stroman slides into the second spot, vacated by Syndergaard. Then it's Rick Porcello, Steven Matz, and Michael Wacha to round out the order. Porcello and Wacha have enjoyed postseason success recently with the Red Sox and Cardinals. Tough day for Jets fans, who will have to cope with Sam Darnold losing one of his top threats. Wide receiver Robbie Anderson signs with the Carolina Panthers for 2 years, $20 million, $12 million due his first year. The move reunites Anderson with his college coach at Temple, Matt Rhule, who left Baylor to test out the NFL waters. Jets immediately went on the offensive to find speed, inking Brashad Perriman to a one-year deal to replace Anderson. He had career highs in Tampa Bay and will team up opposite of Jamison Crowder. The NFL and their owners are at crossroads with what to do with the upcoming draft, April 23rd through the 25th. Public events in Las Vegas have been canceled, but the league wants to televise the event. Teams feel that player physicals and other day-to-day business is lagging behind. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the race for a COVID-19 cure. Also in this week's issue, how the extent of the outbreak took Wall Street by surprise. Joel Weber is the editor of Bloomberg Business Week.
What really struck us was just literally how blindsided the top echelons of Wall Street were by this, because I've been seeing things like comments at Davos pop up. And even then, you know, like the coronavirus situation in China was something that was on people's radar a little bit. But those comments feel so dated when you look back at them already.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New Jersey has frozen about $921 million in spending. That includes aid to homeowners and cities. The state's warning of deep hits to the nation's least funded public pension system. New Jersey's among the most indebted U.S. states. It expects revenue shortfalls and other fallout as a result of the coronavirus. New Yorkers are looking to the suburbs for social distancing. Homes stagnating on the market are now being fought over as rentals. One Greenwich mansion for lease, promoted into Manhattan Mom's Facebook group, drew 60 inquiries the first day. Some buyers in the Hamptons are foregoing home inspections in a race to get a deal done. Well, Connecticut's anemic economy stunted personal income growth to 48th in the country in 2019. That's according to the Commerce Department. It's a warning sign as the state braces for the economic damage caused by the coronavirus. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Yum Brands is working with franchisees who need more access to capital.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about 3M employing so-called surge capacity to double production of face masks amid the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm Caroline Hepke in London on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio. We're reporting on the row between the mayor of London and central government as underground trains remain crowded despite the lockdown.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the government seeking companies that know how to turn hotels into coronavirus hospitals.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting two Fiat Chrysler workers who tested positive for the coronavirus have died.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, Apple. It says it could reopen some of its retail stores on a staggered basis next month. All 458 locations outside China are currently closed. Apple's extended work-from-home ability for many employees through at least April 5th. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are advancing globally along with U.S. stock index futures while investors examine government rescue packages to counter the hit from the coronavirus after one of the best days on Wall Street in a generation. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 11% yesterday for its biggest advance since 1933. The S&P 500 added the most in 12 years. And we're watching NYMEX crude oil as well. It climbed toward $25 a barrel this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 46 points this morning. Dow futures up 651. That's up 3.1%. And NASDAQ futures up 150. The DAX in Germany is up 3.2%, CAC in Paris up 3.8%, and the FTSE 100 up 3.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 8%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 3.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.85%, the yield on the 2-year 0.37%, and the 30-year yield 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.2%, up 53 cents at $24.54 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $15.90 at $16.47.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0842 against the dollar, and the yen 111.41. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he is willing to let the experts extend time for allowing Americans to avoid interactions beyond the 15 days to slow the spread of COVID-19. However, President Trump says he wants much of the nation, especially away from hotspots, back to work in less than a month. It comes as U.S. lawmakers and the White House have agreed on a $2 trillion domestic aid package. The British government is planning to shut down Parliament for 4 weeks starting tonight in the latest attempt to slow the spread of coronavirus. Several politicians have fallen ill, including a health minister. Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah announced that he has tested negative for COVID-19 after going into self-quarantine. It comes following the news that GOP Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky tested positive for coronavirus. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:50 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Italy is the European nation hardest hit by COVID-19. They reported their second deadliest day of the coronavirus outbreak. Our Rome bureau chief is Alessandro Speciale, and he is joining us now for what may be a cautionary tale for the United States. Alessandro, first, can you give us the update?
Yeah, good morning from Rome. I'm actually at the supermarket because all shops are closed, so there are long queues for the supermarkets, which are one of the few places which are still open, only groceries, pharmacies, and very few other shops. And given that if we have to respect the distance, no more than a meter from each other, there are actually count how many people are in the supermarket. It means there are long queues because also the opening times are shorter. This is just to give you an idea how daily life has changed here in the past few weeks. There have been some silver linings in the most recent numbers. For example, the number of active cases, especially in the north, where the contagion strongest, have been falling. But it seems now that containment measures, which are supposed to last until April 3, will have to be prolonged for at least a little longer.
Yeah, can those numbers be trusted? I mean, how accurate are they coming out of any country for that matter?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, one of the complicated things about this infection is that so many people are asymptomatic. They show no symptoms. Yesterday, the head of the Italian Civil Protection, which is the organization that actually keeps the tally and coordinates the emergency response, said there could be as many as 10 times of people infected compared to the official number of people who have been tested positive, which is about 70,000 here in Italy.
Have you approached or surpassed the capacity for healthcare response in Italy? Are hospitals bursting at the seams?
Well, in some cases, they are just about there, just about to burst, but they're still holding up. In fact, there are, if I'm not mistaken now, about 4,000 people in intensive care at the moment in Italy, and that's basically more or less as many intensive care beds there were in Italy at the beginning of the contagion overall. The capacity has been expanded a lot and very fast. In fact, the doctors and the hospitals have been doing a great job in doing this. So you always think you're about to hit capacity because the contagion is getting worse, but you still manage to keep. Of course, this cannot go on forever, and this is why it's so important to spot
when
the peak of the infection is actually coming.
Do we have any clues as to why Italy has been so especially hard hit?
Well, that's one of the big things that the government is grappling with now. For one thing, Italy is a very old country, the second oldest country in the world after Japan. And then the generational structure, if you want to put it that way. I mean, people, relatively young people, middle-aged people like me, often live close to their parents, so they visit them daily or weekly. And this means that the infection spread very fast and very at the beginning from the younger generation, which was the one that traveled, maybe the one that caught it first, but usually doesn't get too much ill, to the older people who are really those who are at risk when they get COVID-19.
Now, let's talk about finances. Does Italy have the fiscal space to address the crisis? And I suppose that's also a broader question for the European Union.
Yes. I mean, Italy has started a 25 billion euro stimulus program, which, of course, is not going to be enough, and probably more will have to be done. The real problem with Italy is that it has a very high debt. So the fiscal rules which are in place in the European Union now have been suspended, clearly, because every country is in emergency. But at the end of this crisis, no matter what, Italy will find itself with a much higher debt pile. It is currently at 125% of GDP, might be 140, 150. And then, at that point, Italy will have to reckon with a much higher debt and make sure that it stays sustainable.
I want to ask you about the peak. Are health officials there in Italy giving any sort of hope for a peak for this crisis there?
Well, of course, they are very cautious that they don't want to give false hope. There have been 2 days of decline in death count. Then yesterday the numbers were again bad. So if you look at the daily number, you can be whipsawed a bit. The decline in active cases is a good sign, but for now they say too early. Though hopefully, given that the restraint measures have been in place for more than 2 weeks, we should be approaching the peak.
All right, Alessandro, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, and please stay safe. Alessandro Speciale, our Rome bureau chief, outside a supermarket there in Rome where they're queuing up and practicing safe distancing, social distancing. We appreciate your time this morning. And that is the very latest of the update where Italy is the hardest hit EU nation in this crisis right now. Karen, back to you.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Currently, we're coming up to 5:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Attorneys are warning insurance and health tech firms to be sure mobile apps that let patients track COVID-19 symptoms and connect with doctors don't run afoul of privacy laws. Accountants say the IRS and the Treasury should further broaden tax filing relief to all deadlines and more types of taxes. Uber and Lyft drivers in Massachusetts urged a federal court to reclassify them as employees with paid sick leave because of the coronavirus.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching involves price gouging during the coronavirus pandemic. State law enforcement officials are urging Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and other large online sellers to crack down on the practice. For more on the effort, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg legal reporter Malthy Nayak.
So, Malthy, is price gouging illegal?
So, some states do have laws that say that during emergency situations, sellers can't price goods more than 10% of the usual rate. But there are some states, Ohio, for instance, that don't have anti-price gouging laws. But that's not to say that the Attorney General hasn't taken any action. It looks like Ohio is trying to crack down on predatory sales as well.
What are regulators, for example, in Ohio, in New York, doing as far as this gouging is concerned? How are they policing this?
We spoke with a few AGs across various states. In Ohio, they're definitely cracking down. In New York as well, seeing a lot of various steps or actions being taken. For instance, state of Washington has 10 investigators that are doing the rounds, going to brick and mortar stores and trying to look at products and the prices. We're looking at cease and desist letters that the state of Oregon has begun sending out to online stores. Now you're seeing even a hotline that the state of Oregon has set up.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Malthy Nayak speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up 32 points. Dow futures up 542. NASDAQ futures up 114. The DAX in Germany up 2.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.85%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.37%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.